Hi, welcome to another inspirational message recorded live at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
Good morning, church. It's so good to be with you in the house of God this morning. We had a really awesome time last night and the 9 a.m. service this morning. Pastor Alex and Naomi, in their absence, has asked me to take the service this morning, so it is with a great privilege and honor that I stand here. So I want to take a moment to honor them and thank them for the opportunity to grace the pulpit and to minister the Word of God to you. So this morning, we're going to do something a little bit different. I'm going to change it up a little bit. Okay. Praise the Lord. It's a little inside joke there, because first service, I went to go open a bottle of water, and it went all over me, so they cracked the top for me. Praise the Lord. I want to ask you this morning to exercise your mind a little bit. So for the next few minutes, I want to ask you just to bow your head and close your eyes. I promise I'm not going to throw anything at you. Just bow your head and close your eyes for a moment. I want you to imagine that you're an Israelite, that you live in the area around Capernaum. There's a major buzz that's going around about this man named Jesus. He's been going around teaching in the synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. People are being astonished because he's teaching as one having authority. People are being healed of every sickness and every single disease. Even those who have been demon-possessed are being set free. You get word that he's just outside of Capernaum. So you join the people and you set out to find them. You make your way to a hillside mountain that overlooks the beautiful Sea of Galilee. It's decked with beautiful wildflowers and people with their eyes locked in on Jesus. You take your spot among the multitude as the birds in the air chirp from above. And now with your full attention, you listen to him as he says, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon, in all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." You can open your eyes. Jesus is talking to a group of people of Jewish background. They're Jews, and we know this because Matthew, his audience in writing, was to a Jewish audience. And it's critical to understand the text is you need to understand the culture, the setting, and what's taking place. That's why I asked you to close your eyes and envision this, because this very well could have been what it looked like. We don't know for certain, but could have been. Jesus was speaking to a people that would have been very, very familiar with the struggles of everyday life. You see, most of their daily routine would have been spent gathering the resources needed for day-to-day existence. Gathering water, tending to animals, farming, sowing seed, gathering crops, storing up, even taking wool and flax and spinning it, making fabrics and clothing. So you can understand that their focus and their attention on these things would have been a top priority. How many know you got to eat, you got to drink, you got to have clothes to wear? But what's amazing is that Jesus tells them, just like he does, he's so awesome, don't worry about those things. What? And I just love Jesus so much because he knows just what we need. He knows our end from our beginning, all in between. He knows what's in our heart when we can't see it. It says that the heart is deceitful above all things. Who can know it? Jesus knows it. And he knew that worry would be a major problem in the lives of not only was it a problem in the lives of the Israelites, but it would also be a problem in our lives even now. Amen? So he tells them not to worry. And the thing about it, in just that small portion of scripture, he uses that word worry 6 times. Now, I don't know about you, but if I keep hearing the same thing over and over and over, if my wife keeps telling me the same thing over and over and over, I better pay attention because she's trying to get a point across. Amen? I think Jesus was trying to get a point across in addressing the Jews here and us even today. So let's take a moment and define worry. Is worry just like a general concern about something? No. It's the Greek word merimnao, and it speaks of having an anxious concern based on apprehension about possible danger or misfortune. To worry is to have one's attention divided in such a way that they're unable to focus on what's important. Anybody ever been there? I think we can all agree that we've spent some time worrying on some things we shouldn't have worried about. And the thing about worry is it can get so consuming that that's all we think about and we can't focus on any other task but that. And it can be a lot of different things. You know, we worry, obviously. You know, we watch the news and stuff, and you wake up, you know, your gas tank's empty, and you're worrying if you go to the gas station down the road if there's even going to be gas. We worry about inflation and how the prices and everything continue to go up and get higher and higher. We worry about, am I going to be able to pay my bills and still provide for my family? I worry about my children, if they're going to walk with the Lord. I worry about my job or my business, and, you know, because of COVID-19 and all of the restrictions and all of the stuff that's going on, is the business going to close? Am I going to have a job tomorrow? And really, the list goes on and on and on, because we worry about all kinds of stuff. The dog, mowing the lawn. But God laid this on my heart to minister this word, to teach this word. This isn't a shout you down preaching message. This is more of a teaching. And it's because worry is real and a present reality for people today. It's a mountain that seems too big to be able to overcome. But today, look to your neighbor and say, move that mountain. We're going to take that mountain of worry that we have been so consumed and bound up by, and we're going to move that thing out of our life once and for all. Can I get an amen? Because worry has no place in the life of a believer, and I'll share with you why as we go on in the message today. So let me ask you a question. What do we gain by worrying? In other words, what does worrying profit us in our life? Absolutely nothing. It's useless. Jesus, in addressing them, he said that you can't even add one cubit to your stature. That's a unit of measure, and it speaks of the distance between your elbow to your fingertips, somewhere around 18 inches. He's basically telling them that by worrying, you can't add to your days. You can't add another hour to your day. You can't extend your life. Worrying is useless. It doesn't do any good in our life. Think about it physically. We've gotten to the point, some of us, to the point where we worry so much that it causes depression. We get so stressed out. The Bible even says that anxiety in the heart causes depression. And you get so bound up in depression and worry that you just go into your little cave, your bedroom. You close the door, you close the blinds, it's pitch black. You turn off the cell phone, you don't want to talk to nobody, and you just want to sleep. That's all you want to do. You don't want to eat, you don't want to talk to nobody. So you can see how worry can affect us physically. And not only that, but it can literally affect our physical body. It can cause us to be sick or have different ailments physically because of worry. And I love Jesus because he obviously knows this stuff. He knows everything. And yet he takes time to sit on the hillside amongst a multitude of people and be able to address and to teach them something about their life, something that's important. Because how many know that if you walk with Jesus, it's a life of freedom? And Jesus wants not only the Israelites of then, but us as Israelites now, because we are. He wants us to be free from this as well. And that's my goal here today, is to present some things from the Word of God so that we leave out of here equipped with tools. You see, we can preach and teach our heart out, and we can share the truths of God's Word, but then it's up to you. You see, the sower, he scatters the seed, but it's on the soil as to what the soil is going to do. Is the soil going to receive it? So I pray that these words that I share today, it will become tools that you guys grab a hold of, and that you never go down that road that leads to that despair because of worry. And I just love it because Jesus, in his address to these people, he uses a couple of words. He tells them first, he says, look at the birds of the air. Now this is really cool because, like, I like to insert myself just like I strategically inserted you into the scene so that you could kind of get a better idea of what was going on. You're sitting on a mountainside by the sea. There's going to be birds flying around your head. You're in the area there of the world that these mountains were filled with lilies. But that word lily in the original language, it really speaks of wildflowers. So there was a bunch of different ones. It could have been daisies and different things. But they would have been prevalent. They would have been all over the mountainside. So it's just amazing that Jesus would use something that's right here that the people can see and stuff that they would have been familiar with to be able to share spiritual truths. I shared with the first congregation, modern day parables are amazing because we can take things that we are familiar with and be able to share the gospel message with people that are unsaved. And so that's what Jesus is doing. He's using things that they would have been accustomed to and things that were around them. But he says, look at the birds of the air. And then he says, concerning the lilies, he said, consider the lilies of the field. Look and consider. Two different words in the Greek, but both having a very similar meaning. And this is key, because it means to give attention to with the intent of learning or understanding something. He's not just telling them to look at it because it's the flowers are pretty. Don't look at the birds just because they're flying around, but look at them because I want you to learn something. In other words, he was telling them that class is now in session, so pay attention. So he starts off with the birds of the air. And he tells them, take a look at them. Observe them. And notice something. They don't worry. They're not like farmers. There were probably some that were heavy in agriculture and things right there. So he uses something they can relate to. These birds, they don't sow no seed. They don't till ground. They don't go and harvest, you know, a crop. They don't take that crop and then begin now to go and store it up into the barns. So is Jesus saying, well, don't worry about working, you know, just kick back, relax, sit in your lazy boy, and I'm going to open up the windows of heaven and everything you need is going to be dropped in your lap? Oh, no. It doesn't work like that because of this. You see, the bird is probably the most active animal on the earth. That's not the point that he was trying to drive across to them. He was trying to get them to see that these birds, there's no worry in their life. Think about this. The bird who was created by God to serve me, us, you. And yeah, he was. We eat birds, right? The prophet got a bird, bring him flesh. Okay. All right. Point driven. The point is this, is that bird is a created being by God to serve us. Think about it, because we were created by God to serve him. So how in the world can the bird, the sparrow, be of more value than me and you? Are you kidding me? He tells him, he says, of how much more value are you than they? You see, those birds, there was no straining or there was no seeking to find security in things stored up or and accumulated for the future. We're a people, man, we like to try to build up and hoard things for 6 months down the road, and we like to consume our time with accumulating material things and so on and so forth. The bird doesn't worry about that. They live day to day. It says that it's the Father that feeds them. That bird just doesn't sit there and wait for a worm to fall in its nest. They go out and they fly and they hunt and they hunt and they hunt. And they find that worm and they find their provision and they eat. Why? Because God provides for them. And if he takes care of a bird, you better believe he's going to take care of you and me. Amen? Just preaching to myself this morning. This message isn't for you, it's for me. And then he goes on and he tells them, he said, to consider the lilies of the field. Observe them. Take a look at them, because I want to teach you something. And I love this because he says that the flowers, they neither toil nor spin. Again, is he trying to say, oh no, just be lazy and be idle? No, that's not what he's saying. The point he's trying to drive home is take a look at them. Anybody ever looked at a flower? They're beautiful. They're amazing. I shared with the 9 a.m. service, my wife and I, when we go to North Carolina, there's a portion of road that we travel in, the median there between the roads is just filled with these gorgeous wildflowers of different colors, and it's just as far as you can see, and it's absolutely amazing. And you think about roses and all of the different, even plants. And so this is what he's trying to drive home. And he uses something that they would have been very familiar with. Again, context and culture background is key for proper interpretation of Scripture. He talks about an oven. What does an oven have to do with this, Jesus? Well, see, in Palestine at that time, the people had these clay ovens that they had. It would be like a box set on some bricks, or maybe it was, you know, oval. And they would use it to bake bread and so on and so forth. But what's awesome about this is, see, if the person that had that oven, if they wanted to raise the temperature in that oven quickly, you know what they would do? They would go grab the grass of the field and these wildflowers, and they would bundle them up, and they would go and they would throw them into the oven. And what would happen is they would be engulfed, and it would bring the temperature of the oven up quickly so that they could bake in a hurry. So there's significance to this. But what Jesus is trying to get the people to see is the lifespan of the flower. It's so beautiful. God decks it out. But yet its lifespan is very, very short. It might only be there on that hillside for maybe 2-3 days. It might only be there for a week or a month. And then where does it go? It goes right into either feeding animals or going into the oven to raise up the temperature. And he talks about if God so decks them out, are you kidding me? Is he not going to take care of you? So why are you worried about clothing? There's no need for you to worry. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, move that mountain. If God gives such beauty to a short-lived flower, how much more will he care for us? He again reminds them not to worry, but rather to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things that you've been worried about will be taken care of. Somebody say priorities. You see, Jesus wasn't disregarding the need to be able to work and provide food and water and clothing for the people and their families. That's not what he's driving home here. Because see, what's amazing is if you actually go into Matthew chapter 6 and you read previously, you'll hear him as he talks about lay up treasures in heaven and not on earth. He also talks about how, you know, you can't serve two masters. You can't serve God and mammon. And then he goes on into this. So what is the theme? What is he trying to lay out here as he's sitting with these people on the mountainside overlooking the Sea of Galilee? He's trying to help them get their life in order, talking about loyalty. He's talking about focus, and he's talking about having your priorities in order. How many sometimes need to get their priorities straight? Both hands go up there. He wants them to still work and still do what they've got to do to provide for the family, but he wants them to take that work and put it in its rightful place, because you see, we were created by him and for him. We were created to serve him and not ourselves. Think about the Israelites. They were in the land of Egypt in bondage. They cry out to God, and God appears to Moses and tells him, I've heard my children. I've heard their cry by way of their evil taskmaster, and I've come down to deliver them. I'm going to send you. So he goes and he gets the people, and there comes a point where God tells Moses and Aaron to go before Pharaoh and say these words: Israel is my son. Let him go that he may serve me. How does that speak to us? We were redeemed to serve him. We were redeemed and brought out of the land of sin and bondage to serve him and only him. We serve him who died for us. Can I get an amen this morning? So he's telling them to get your priorities right. Put them in their right place. Don't let worry keep you from fulfilling your purpose, your true purpose in life. We got to move that mountain. Now, if you're like me, hey, that's all great and dandy. That's fantastic. But how do I do it? Because every single day I find myself worrying. I worry about the bills, and then the bills get paid, and I go into worrying about something else. And it's like this, a constant theme over and over and over. And we like to say, oh, it's wisdom. It's not wisdom. So how do we get this thing out of our life? How do we become free from it? I want to share with you three little keys. One really, really stands out, but I'm going to share the other ones with you. We got to understand that unbelief is a sin. And worry is rooted in unbelief. So let me ask you a question this morning. What does it say to God when we worry about these things in our life? It shows that we have a lack of faith and a lack of trust in Him. It says, God, I've got some needs in my life, but you can or not going to meet them, so I got to step in and I got to take control of my own life. I got to take care of everything. I got to put that as top priority in my life. To overcome worry, not only do we need to understand that it's rooted in unbelief and God hates unbelief. It said that the children of Israel, they couldn't even enter the promised land because they had an evil heart of unbelief. The book of Hebrews, unbelief is a wicked thing. He said he couldn't do more miracles and things because the people had unbelief. Worry, doubt, unbelief, all linked together, but we're going to move that mountain this morning. Amen? And how many know when we begin to walk with God, truly walk with Him, when we begin to grow, there's a hatred for sin that develops in our life. You can't truly say that you're walking with the King and loving doing those things, drinking alcohol being drunk with wine and sleeping around and being addicted and lying and all of that stuff. You see, when you're truly walking with God, you hate those things. You don't want to do it. Why? Because it's not in character with my God. I'm in union with Him. I've identified myself with Him through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Therefore, I want to walk like Him. I want to talk like Him. I want to act like Him. I want to truly reflect Him. So these things that are part of the old nature, I don't like them anymore. I don't want them in my life. The second thing is this. To overcome and to move the mountain of worry, we got to understand who we are and our value to God. Can we put up Matthew 6:26? It says, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Tells them to consider them. Take a look and observe. Value, your worth. He tells them to look at the birds, and then, and I don't know if they caught it or not, but he says, look at them, and he says, your heavenly Father feeds them. Not the bird's father. Your heavenly Father. I don't know if they caught that, but that should have fixed things right then and there. And if you've been here at Oceans for a while, you've heard me ask this question. How do you determine the worth or the value of a painting? By the price somebody is willing to pay for it. Just let that marinate. Think about that. How valuable and what is your worth? What did somebody pay to get you? They paid their life. Are you not much of more value than the birds? Oh, yes. Yes, you are. And don't let anybody tell you any different. One of the challenges that I had growing up and early in my walk, my whole life I was, we all have faced it, not just me. I know that you guys have been there as well, where people like to say things about you. They like to, you'll never be nothing, or you're this, you're that. And they got a whole list. They got a whole long, long list of things that you are, that when you come into the kingdom, they still like to say those things. But that's when spiritual warfare really begins to take place. And now they want to throw that weapon at you. I got to look to the Word of God, and I got to find the sword that's going to wipe that thing out. I've got to find the truth concerning what God says about me when they're saying all of this other stuff about me. So when they tell you that you have no value, you have no worth, the devil is a liar. I've been bought with a price. And it's a price that no one else can pay, Pastor William. Somebody paid with their life, Pastor Mike. And then Romans 8:31 and 32 says this, What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Notice he said he did not spare his own son. He didn't withhold his son from us. He gave us the greatest gift, the greatest thing he could have ever given us. He gave us his only begotten son. So if he gave you Jesus Christ hung on a cross, you think he ain't gonna provide for you and put food on the table and make a way and to bring a job or bring provision? You think that when you're crying out to God because things are going rough and you need a job and or you get fired or something's happened, and you think that you're gonna cry out to your Heavenly Father and that he's not gonna make a way? Well, that would be possibly like a father in the world. But our Father ain't like that, because our Father is pure. He's righteous. He's holy. In him is light and there is no darkness at all. God can't do us wrong because it's not in him to do wrong. You better believe when David in Psalm 18 began to cry out to God, the cry came to the ear of God. You see, our children can cry out to us and they can cry out with a daddy, daddy. And it gets our attention. But when that baby cries out and says, daddy, screaming, it's a different sound that comes to your ear. You know that your child is in need. In Psalm 18, it says that God began to hear the cry and he rent the heavens. He came to the aid of his child. You will tell me that when things start to go a little bumpy in your life, you think that you can't go to your daddy? You think he's just going to forget you? No, he said, well, what father, if he asks for bread, will give him a stone? Not our daddy in heaven, no. We've asked him for the Holy Spirit, and guess what he gave us? Woo! Hallelujah! We've been endued with power from on high. He gave us a new identity. He gave us new citizenship. We got a new residence. Glory, hallelujah. That's our Father. That's our Father. Maybe you're like me. Maybe your earthly father wasn't the greatest. He had his own struggles. I don't blame him. I don't hold anything against him. He didn't know how to be a father. And most likely because his father didn't know how to be a father to him. So when I came into the kingdom, I struggled with the fathership, son, relationship. But my God, the more I walk with him, the more I read the word, Pastor William, the more I know, hallelujah, the more I pray, the more I lift my hands in worship, the more I begin to dance and I begin to experience him. I begin to experience his love, and it changes us. It changes us forever. I know with absolute certainty that my Father is a perfect Father. Perfect in all his ways. Hallelujah. What is food and clothing compared to Jesus? If he didn't spare his own son, you think he'll have us go without? No. The righteous are never forsaken, nor does his seed ever beg for bread. We're royalty, we're not beggars. We're not peasants. We're sons and daughters of the King, well taken care of. And the last one is this, Philippians 4, 6, and 7. It says, be anxious or worried for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Key. I believe that shows God something really powerful. See, oftentimes we go to God to prayer and we're asking him and we're praying and asking this and asking that. And what's often absent from our prayers is thanksgiving. But he said, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and minds through Christ Jesus. I begin to think about that parent-child relationship again. And I begin to think about the little ones. When they get scared, when they get worried, when they get troubled, where do they run to? They run to daddy. They run to mommy. Why? Because they feel secure. It's a safe place. Knowing that my mommy, my daddy ain't gonna let nothing happen to me. And you know, they cling to your leg so tight, man, you feel like they stop the flow of blood in your leg. But they feel safe and secure. You see, we don't have to worry. We can move that mountain because of who our Father is. I love my children. I'll fight and I'll give everything to make sure they're protected and well cared for, but I can't even compare to my Father in heaven. And you better believe that He's going to take care and meet every single one of my needs. He didn't say it would always be roses. It would always be easy, but He did say, I'll always be with you. You see, sometimes we go through difficult times. It's there and it teaches and trains us, begins to work out all those kinks and develop character. It's good stuff. Fire hurts, but you come out not smelling like smoke. You come out better, refined. Amen? So this is one another reason how we can overcome worry is because when we find ourselves consumed with thoughts of worrying about what's going to happen next week, what happens if the power grid goes out by some cyber hacker from, you know, another country and we don't have lights, and what happens if I lose my income and I lose my mortgage, where are we going to go? We don't have to worry about those things. Remember, priorities. What do I got to focus on? I got to focus on fulfilling my true purpose in life, and that is serving my God. As I fix my eyes upon Him and the kingdom work that He has given to me, I know that as I do that, He's going to take everything else and He's going to work it all out. Why? Because He's not a man that He should lie, nor the son of man that He should repent. He said that if I seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all of these things that I worry about will be taken care of, and I can go to Him in prayer. The Bible says, cast your cares upon the Lord. All right, God, cast that thing. And cast it where? Cast it upon Him, for He cares for you. But notice what it doesn't say in that scripture too. It doesn't say reel it back in. It says cast it. And it don't say nothing else after that. The Lord cares for you. Cast it upon Him. Leave it there. And trust. Trust in Him. Amen? Come on, stand to your feet with me. I'm just about done this morning. Maybe you're here and maybe your life has been a worrisome life and you've been struggling, concerned about all kinds of different things, even to the point where you can't even focus on what you know you need to focus on. Today is a day of breakthrough. Today is a day of breakthrough because your God, your Father, desires you to be free, to live a life of freedom, having the assurance that those things are going to be taken care of. So this morning, I just want to ask you to close your eyes. And if you're here this morning and this word is ministered to you, and you know that worry has been a challenge in your life, and you want God to touch you, and you want God to help you in this area, I'm going to ask you to lift your hands. I'm not going to lay hands on you, but you're going to just talk to God. Just talk to Him. Tell Him. Speak to your heart to Him. Because I think about how He could have said a lot of other stuff, but on that hillside, He chose to address worry. Why? Because He knew it would be a concern. He knew that worry would hinder people in their walk and in their life of walking with Him and serving Him. Father, I don't know who has their hands up this morning, Father. I don't know who's struggling, Father, with worry, but I know that You gave me this word, Father. And I have delivered it. And now, Father, I am dependent upon You, Father. And we put a demand on You by the Spirit of the Spirit of God and Your Word. And I ask that You touch those, Father, that are in great need right now, because You are a loving Father. And You desire us to be healed and free. So I pray now, Father, in the name of Jesus, and I speak to the spirit of doubt. I speak to unbelief and I speak to worry. And I command you in the name of Jesus to be uprooted now and be thou removed and cast into the sea forever and ever and ever right now in Jesus' name. And let faith and trust in God replace it. And let that faith and trust in you, Father, be like a seed that continues to grow stronger and stronger in the lives of the people that are here today and those that are even watching online, Father. Holy Spirit, help us to stay focused in such a time as this, Father, when the media and news outlets try to grab our attention and instill worry and fear in our lives and to sidetrack us. Help us that we don't become idle. Father, I'm reminded of Paul in his letter to Thessalonians. They knew that there was a coming. They knew that you were coming back, but they became idle, just sitting back doing nothing. Father, just waiting for your return. But Father, we pray in Jesus' name that we would not be like them, but that we would be good stewards of the word and what you have entrusted to our care. Be diligent, Father, to be about our kingdom work, our Father's business, and be effective right here and right now, Father, in these last days, Father, that people would be encountered with your power and with your love, Father, and that we wouldn't have to be worried and burdensome down by the cares of this world. But Father, we could have a laser focus on you. So I pray now, Holy Spirit, that you touch everyone now, Father. As we cast our cares upon you, you said, Father, that the peace of God, there's somebody here right now that you're struggling, you're worried about finances. You're worried about finances, it's consuming you. But God's gonna give you his peace right now. Right now, cast those cares upon him and then receive. Receive his peace. Rest in his love for you. Rest in his love for you. He will not fail. He cannot fail. For many waters cannot quench, cannot drown the love that he has for you. Father, I thank you for the life of every person here this morning. They are very precious to you. And everyone you have created for a purpose. You have an incredible destiny for them. I pray that this word just strengthen them. And that as we depart here today, that we would seize those opportunities like Jesus did on that mountainside. Opportunities to minister the truths of your kingdom that people can come to know you, because that's real life. That's true life. Did you not say in the Gospel of John, for this is eternal life, that we might know you in Jesus Christ whom you have sent? To live is to know you. So Father, bless these, Father, as we depart. May your peace be upon us, Father, and use us for the furtherance of your kingdom. We give you honor, glory, and praise this morning in no other name but in Christ's name we pray. Everybody said, amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.